So we started out with this series, and I got maybe a few more messages after this, hopefully if the Lord tarries and allows. Saved from what? Saved from what? We started out a couple of weeks ago that we're saved from the world. And amen. We're saved from the world and its influence. And I can tell you that the world has a very, very powerful influence on us. It continues to bombard us with its influence. And if we're not careful and sharp, we will fall under the influence of this world. And if we're not careful, we will justify why we do it. We can't help having to use some of the things of this world because we are in the world. We need food, we need water, we need money, we need a place to stay, we need cars, and all of these things. But we just should never let the things of the world have us. And that's where it becomes very tricky. But today we're going to talk about saved from what? It's going to be today is saved from the flesh. Saved from the flesh. What is flesh? Flesh, the material substance of flesh. Genesis 1 says that God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I said Genesis 1, but I think it's Genesis 1 and 2. And also, he also formed the animals. And the book of Corinthians tells us that all flesh is not the same flesh. There's the flesh of dogs, birds. Birds do what birds do. Birds don't bark. Dogs do what dogs do. Dogs don't chirp unless you train them. Fish do what fish do, and man uniquely does what man does. All flesh is not the same. But there are other glories also that the Bible tells us. Glories of the stars, and the glories of the sun, and the glories of the moon. And then we have the souls of men, and we have the spirits of men. All of that is uniquely made by God. Man was formed at the beginning in innocence. Innocent, a pure slate, a pure mind. And he was warned of God, of all of the trees of the garden you may freely eat of, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, because in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man ate, man died. Not physically right off, because we find a story there that Adam and his wife, he knew his wife, and they began to bring forth children in their likeness. So the death, if he said they would surely die, they surely died. But they continued on to have children. And so we say, well, what happened? Well, what happened? Man died from his position of relationship of life in God. He died from his life in God. And he went from living life in living. He went from living life in living to living or dying, as the case may be, living his life in death. He lived his life in living, and he went from that to living his life in death. It's just like you cut a beautiful rose from the root. It's still very beautiful when you first get it. But as time goes on, that rose began to change its form. And folks say, well, put an aspirin in the water, it'll keep it alive longer. The rose is dead. You have separated it from its life source. So the rose that you're holding, if it's not attached to the tree, is dead. It just slowly wilts and assumes its position. But it's already dead. But it's looked alive. It's still beautiful. It even opens up some, you know, when you put it down, and sometimes the bulbs open up. But that rose is dead, and you cannot stick it back on the tree. Maybe you can if you know how to slice it in and how they do that. Grafted is the word, thank you. But for all practical purposes, we typically don't go back to the rose tree and try and graft the rose bud back into it. It's dead. And it's the same thing, I think, with man. As long as he was connected to the life source, he lived. But once he was disconnected from the life source, man died. He was dead. Even though he kept moving around, really, he was dead. And eventually, the scripture says that he did die physically. Man made the same blunder that Lucifer made, as is stated in Isaiah 14, It says, how art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou brought to the ground? It says that Lucifer was brought to the ground. His name changed from Lucifer, son of the morning, to Satan. Satan, the deceiver, the enemy, the supplanter. Jesus said in the book of Luke, Jesus himself said, I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. Fall from heaven, as Jesus said that about him. I saw him fall from heaven as lightning. You've seen lightning. It's pretty fast. And he saw him fall from heaven as lightning. The book of Job, Satan himself presented himself with the sons of God. And God said, from whence art thou? He said, from going to and fro in the earth. That's what he said to God along with the sons of God in the book of Job. Peter tells us to be sober and to be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Man's choice to do what God had instructed him not to do was changed from the life man to the death man. So every man that's born in this world is born in death. We've got a bouncing, living baby boy. Oh, I got bad news for you. You've got a dead boy that's living. Because that child is going to die. So we encourage ourselves by saying, oh yeah, I'm glad he's healthy. And yeah, he's healthy. It's from our perspective, healthy, but it's appointed once unto man to die. And all men die unless, again, Jesus comes. This death is not just the cessation of life. It's a condition that is very different from the original condition before man made his ill will trice. The result is what we deal with today and every day. Our existence is not what God intended. Now, that's before Christ now. That's why Jesus came to provide man victory over the sinister properties of the flesh. To overcome the sinister properties of the flesh. Sinister, that word means on the left side. The right side is a position of power and authority. But sinister is on the left side. It's unfavorable. It's fraudulent. Singularly evil or productive of evil or relative to or situated to the left or the left side of something sinister. And the property is a quality or a trait belonging and especially peculiar to an individual or a thing. It's a trait that's especially peculiar to an individual thing or person. And so he came to destroy the works of the devil and to set and make us free. That's why he came. And he came to save us from ourselves. That's why he came. Galatians 5:16 and 17 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts or the desires of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would or that you wish to do. What that means is you're going to walk in one or the other. I've said many times, this is not a straddle the fence deal. You're either in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. You're either walking or living in the Spirit or you're walking or living in the flesh. The point is this. You can overcome the flesh. You do not have to be victim to the wiles and tricks and the power of the flesh. And the flesh is tricky. And I've always said this. The flesh is tricky. I don't mind it. From my own experience, that's a tricky fellow. He causes problems. He causes me problems. He gets me in trouble. He does little things. And that means I've fallen under his influence. Not even thinking, just drifted right over there. So yeah. The Bible says if you are led by the Spirit, that you are not under the law. Now turn over to Galatians 5 and we're going to go right down this list of the works of the flesh, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I found myself here on this list. And it's just good to have knowledge of, because you might find yourself on this list and not even realize it. That means you need to talk to the Lord about this thing and get it right. And I don't know if there's 17 properties here or whatever, but it's a pretty vast list. And it's very important that we know how we should carry ourselves and how we should handle our vessels. Galatians chapter 5, 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. That means that they are seen. That means they are not hid. They are not hidden. They are manifest. Which are these? Adultery. That would be intimate relationship with a married person, by a married person, with someone other than their spouse. That's adultery. Fornication is illicit connection between a single or unmarried person. It often signifies adultery as well. Illicit sexual relations between single or unmarried persons. These are works of the flesh. If Christians are involved in this, hey, there's something wrong here. These are works of the flesh. Uncleanness. Whatever is opposite to purity, as recorded in Romans 1:24, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They were talking about people and men and women going after strange relationships other than a man-woman relationship. They said that they desired the creature more than the creator, and that they dishonored their bodies one with another. And you know what God does with that? He gives them up. That's what it says, that God gave them up. In other words, he said, go ahead on, have it just the way you want it then. And it's not that he had tried to reach them, not that he didn't show himself, not that the heavens did not declare the glory of God. They knew who he was. They knew of God. And yet they still picked this strange thing. It's called uncleanness. God calls it uncleanness. It's unclean. These things I was talking about when I first got up here, in the sight of God, they are unclean. In your sight, they should be unclean. It is something that's just not right about that. Go ahead, I need a few more amens on that now. Because there's something just, I mean, I'm not saying go out and get a fight, in a fight about it, because see, our job is to give them Jesus, whoever they are. He died for everybody. He died for the whole world, including those that, you know, live this kind of a lifestyle. So rather than us going out trying to say you in sin and you're going to hell, well, everybody without Jesus is in sin and going to hell. Everybody without him is in sin and going to hell. And so we need to make sure our message is clear to them that God did die for you and he loves you. And the very first step, the most important step in the life of a person that's living one of these kinds of lives, is that they come to the knowledge of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they cannot hear what you're trying to tell them from the scriptures. They can't hear it. The scriptures are made for you to comprehend. The scriptures are made for the body of Christ to understand. People outside of Christ, no matter how much you quote the scriptures, they cannot hear it. They will fight you. They will kick. They will spit. They'll do everything, but they will not accept them unless first they are changed and become new creatures. Then they can hear it. You say, well, what? That seems like an impossibility. Someone in that deep in this lifestyle, that's got to be impossible. Well, yeah, with God, nothing is impossible. We got to know that it's not my work, it's God's work. It's not my purpose, it's God's purpose. And then, so that means that we need love in our hearts so that we can deal with them from a loving perspective. Now, I got some work to do. it's not that I don't love them. I'm just suspicious. I'm afraid. You're homophobic. Yeah. Guilty. I am. You worry me. You worry me. And that's just my confession. I don't know what yours is. Lasciviousness is the next word. It says, whatever is contrary to chastity, that is living clean and pure. And it's all kinds of lewdness. Lasciviousness. And we have your child predators and these kinds of things. They're lascivious. They're lewd. Anything like that. Idolatry is the worship of idols. It's frequenting an idol festival. It's image worship. Here is something that can walk up on us, can sneak up on us, and we not even realize that we're worshiping idols. Because we won't bow down and bow our head and say a prayer to the idol. But we have things in our environment that we're so crazy about. Ooh, man, that is so beautiful. I'm going to take that and set that right there. So when I come through, I can see it when I walk through. And you walk through it, you're almost going to, it bless me. It helped me so much. I'm so glad to have it there. And see, that's that little sinister property where it can kind of slide just a tad in and start messing with your life and messing with your mind. And boy, if somebody knocked that little thing off that shelf, you go ballistic. No love of God, no love of Jesus. You broke my image. I mean, you broke my figurine. And so, that in itself is a very tricky little thing there. So, that is a work of the flesh. It's not a good work. So, if we've got one of those, I'm not saying throw it out, because that's not going to help you. You need to get your heart straight with the Lord about it. Talk to Him about this. Because it's not so much the item as it is your heart. And where your heart is today. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You might get rid of it later, but it might be of greater value to you in your house while you work through this issue between you and God. So you throw it out. I feel better. No, you're going to find something else. Something else is going to take the place of that. So this needs to be taken care of. It needs to be dealt with. You could have a house full of figurines, but if one break, everything's fine. Just sweep that up, throw it away, and you got plenty more. Don't have a hissy fit. When you have hissy fits, we got something going on here now. Messed my day up. You broke my mama's vows. Mama been dead 15 years. Here's one, witchcraft. That Greek word is pharmakaios. It's pronounced pharmakaia. It has to do with drugs or poison. In all spells, it's used in all spells and incantations, whether they are true or false. Drugs are related. And drugs are and were employed, as a drug might either be the means of removing evil to inflicting one. The wordsmiths, or they call them etymologists, have derived it from bringing ease. They even bring ease with drugs. Bringing pain. They could bring pain with drugs. So spells and incantations were used sometimes for the restoration of health. And then at the other times for the destruction of an enemy. Sometimes these were used to procure love at times or to produce hatred. Why won't someone love me? Different things that people do. And listen, right now today, you can go out in this land and find someone that will work witchcraft on your behalf for a price. And somebody you hate and you want them out the way, there are folks out here that can cast different little things and cause different little problems. And next thing you know, the person down there, they're not there anymore. You say, what happened? I don't know. It's so strange. They just upped and moved away. Or they just upped and got sick all of a sudden. Or they all of a sudden they lost their mind. Or any other number of things happen. Listen, y'all been around the corner more than one time. They'll get a piece of your hair and take it somewhere and cause all kinds of trouble if you're not under the blood of Jesus. Amen. They will. They'll take your brush somewhere. Oh, don't let them get your underwear. Y'all laugh, but they'll take them somewhere and the folks are, zzzz. Burn them. about this much from here, but I'm telling you that unless you're under the blood of Jesus, this thing will have effect. And folks that don't know him are constantly being influenced by hateful people and folks that are using these kinds of things, and it's nothing but the power of Satan working through the flesh. He can't do it on his own. He needs a man or a woman to cooperate. And so he'll come through and do it through witchcraft. It's nothing more than a controlling spirit. And it doesn't have to be with drugs or anything like that. Anyone that has a controlling spirit and utilizes it to manipulate the lives of others and manipulate the directions of other people's lives is operating in witchcraft. It doesn't even have to have any physical proportions to it. And we're surrounded by manipulative people. And I keep myself safe from them because I don't go around many of them, because I'm an easy mark, and that I know. So that makes me strong, because I know where to keep myself at my house, because I know that. I'll give you the shirt off my back because that's where I am. See? And so we have to recognize that these things exist, and these are something. There are evil people in the world that don't care about God or you or anyone else, just what they want. And I know some personally that will come and start talking, and next thing you know, you're going left and you meant to go right. You're standing up when you meant to sit down. You're cooking fish when you meant to cook beef. I mean, they get to talking and change everything you plan to do, and you're happy doing it. And then later you go, wait a minute. I didn't hear that. That's witchcraft. They're not saying I'm a witch and I'm working witchcraft. They're just working witchcraft. It just comes natural out of the flesh. One of the works of the flesh, hatred. It's a reason for opposition or hostility as opposed to brotherly love and kindness. Hatred. Hostility. I've seen some of that close by, y'all. Won't call a name, not in here, but I've seen some of that close by. Variance is contentions where the principle of hatred proceeds open acts, the contest and altercations, lawsuits, disputes, generally quarrelsome. I've seen some of that close by in what we call the church. I've seen some of that close by. Emulation is envies. When someone is envious, envies for emulation, that is strive to excel at the expense of another. That is lowering others to set up oneself. Lowering others to make yourself look big. It's not holy. It's unholy zeal. It's fervently adopting a bad cause or supporting a good one by cruel means. Folks say, well, I'm going to do good. Yeah, but you're mean. So you're doing good, you're being mean to do good? I don't know. That's still a work of the flesh. If I had more money, I've heard this, if I had more money, I could give more to the work of God. What are you doing with the little that you have? Because that's the real measure right there. Because he who is faithful in little will be faithful with much. And he that's not faithful with little will not be faithful with much. So when folks make that statement, if I had more, I could give more to the work of God, I kind of look askance at that. Because what are you doing right now? Just be faithful where you are. Whether he give you more or not, be faithful. He fed 5,000 with five loaves and a few fish. You mean tell me he can't take care of us with a $3 offering? I know you want to give 30, but you can't give but 3. So give the 3 to the glory of God. You mean tell me he can't take that and blow on it and bless it and use it? Well, it doesn't make mathematical sense. Don't care. We're talking about Jesus. All right. Okay. Wrath. These are works of the flesh. That's turbulence. Turbulent passions. Something or someone who disturbs the harmony of the mind. It produces domestic and civil broils and disquietudes and strife. Oh, I've seen that in this building.
I've seen that in this building.
Mm-hmm. Wrath. Disturbing the peace is what it is. Stirring things up. That is a work of the flesh. Seditions. That's disunion or dissensions. It's division. Thank God we don't have that here. Thank God we don't have that. It separates factions and parties. They call it in the world cliques. I hate cliques. But someone's always left out. And that hurts the individual that's left out. I'm not good enough to go to lunch with you. I've seen it happen. We're going to lunch. Oh, good. And you know what they do? They leave early. So this person, I've seen it happen. This person is destroyed because of those cliques. I fought against it when I was working. I do not like cliques. I fought against it. We broke them up. Cliques are wrong. But they can operate through the flesh. They call them cliques. Heresies. It's the parties in the church that separate. And they're communing this group over here and this group over here and this group over here. They're setting up their own little special worship corners. Heresy. Their own little special group. We're like this and we're like that. We don't believe this. And then church splits happen. They cause scandals. They cause offenses. And they produce stumbling blocks for others. Works of the flesh. Heresy. Envyings. That's ill will. It's a distraction to envy. It's jealousy. It's what it is. There's no room in a Christian's life for jealousy. It's pain that's felt and it's malignity that is conceived at the sight of excellence or happiness. Someone does good and it just breaks their heart to see somebody doing good. Folks are like that. They're envious. They just can't stand it. Wow, I don't get that much. Rejoice. It's envying. It's a work of the flesh. I've been there. Anybody ever had envy in your life? Y'all know what envy is. I know what it is. I had to fight against that. I used to sit up and listen to people sing and pick out the wrong things they did. Because I'm a singer. I was a singer. And I found myself going, what am I doing? Why am I not rejoicing that they even up their singing? I had to fight with that because it took me a while to fight that off. To learn to appreciate anyone that gets up and sings because they don't have to be up there. Now, picking them apart, that was just dumb. It was dumb and envious as though I can sing better than them. Well, you know, somebody can sing better than me. A lot of people can sing better than me. So it's a matter of where your heart is. Murders. That means simply to kill. To slay. Murder signifies the destruction of a human life. And as he who hates his brother in his heart already has taken away his life. That's why Jesus called him a murderer. He who hates his brother in his heart has murdered him, has killed him. You're taking away a brother's life. Drunkenness is simply intoxication. Taking more wine or any kind of inebriating liquor than is necessary for health, whatever is unfit for public, domestic, or spiritual duties, even the cares of this world, listen, even the cares of this world can intoxicate the mind. So it's not always a physical drink. It could be your mindset about your world or your existence. So we have to watch these things. We could get so intoxicated. Some of these killings and things, something was wrong with this person's mind. They were intoxicated on something. I still haven't heard a toxicology report where they said the person was so high on PCP that he lost it. Something was going on, but I haven't seen a toxicology report that showed that they were just loaded up with cocaine or something. I just haven't seen it. It might be there, but I just haven't seen it. Even this world. And you've heard me say, and I confess, money has an intoxicating effect on me when I get a lot of it. Just go, 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 go. You can have this, I'll buy that. We get this, I'll buy that. Here it is, there it is. Then it gets down real low and I wake up. Oh my God. What have I done? I'm just as broke now before I got the $5,000. lascivious feasting, and with obscene songs and music, called letting loose. Reveling. Christians ain't got no business to no party when they got that those obscene songs going. And there are plenty of them around. And you could listen, you hear somebody drive up next to you with a song blasting, and they're using the B word and the S word and the MF word, and they're just going, 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 and they see you and they turn it up because they think you want to hear it. Boom. And you're like trying to turn your little radio up. It don't go loud enough because you can't drown that up. You roll your window up and turn your radio up, and it's like, change, like, please just change. I was in Miami, a guy got out his car to get gas, stopped, turned around, and turned his box back on while I was pumping gas. And man, this guy was cussing up something in there. Bang, 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 blah, 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 blah. I'm like, can this thing pump any faster? It's obscene. We've got no business at festivities that have lascivious and obscene music playing and people doing all this stuff that they're doing, what they call dancing, and you sitting there in the middle of that. You've got no business, yo. And the New Year's is coming up. I'm just letting you know. If you accept a party invitation, you better find out what it is. And if they say that, no kids, you don't need to go. Go ahead and say amen.
Amen.
If they say no kids, you don't need to go. Because it's already messed up. Yeah, yeah, you got to go. I went to one where you had to take a pill to get in. They had a bowl of pills, and they say, you got to take one to get in. That was a long time ago. I wanted to get in, so, you know, I paid the entry fee. But that's correct, and it was one of those parties. Listen, y'all, I'm just telling you that these are works of the flesh. And you find yourself in the middle of one of these circumstances, you're going to find yourself almost getting caught up in that beat. And you'll see that little thing over there dancing and cutting and acting up, and you're going to try to act like a Christian, and you ain't going to act like no Christian in there. Stay home. Party with your family or something if you got a party. And it says, and such like. I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, in other words, they are not children of God and therefore cannot inherit the kingdom of God, which belongs only to the children of the divine family. They are not children of God. Folks that practice this, no matter how loud they say amen, no matter how fervently they claim hallelujah, if they're practicing these things, they have not yet come to know the true Lord. There is no way in the world you can know him and live comfortably in these circumstances. No way in the world you could go to Madam Hoosley down the street and try to get this Oliver to say something you want him to say. Or get Bill to act the way you want him to act. You talk to the Lord about these things. Maybe the problem is you and not Oliver and not Bill. And most times the problem is you. It's me. I'm the one that needs to be dealt with, not him. It's me most times. So talk to the Lord about your heart. In the book of 1 John, I'm going to go just a little beyond today if that's okay. Okay, just a few minutes, I hope. The Bible says to love not the world nor the things of the world, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh. It's not of the Father, but is of the world, and it passes away. Now, because of the infirmities of our flesh, we forget sometimes spiritual things. We have a problem. It's the infirmity of our flesh. Sometimes we forget, and we move back and forth from flesh to spirit. Thank God that we can move into the spirit. We have to be vigilant and watch these things. Paul said in Romans 7, he said this, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Dwells no good thing. But the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find it not. It's not in us. We can't find it in our own being. How to perform it, I find it not. For the good, he said, that I would, I do not. But the evil, which I would not, that I do. You find yourself doing it. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it. He identifies in Romans 7:20 that but sin that dwells or resides in me. Listen, Romans 7:21 says, I find in a law. And we need to be cognizant of this. I find in a law. Maybe you've seen this. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Ever notice that? You set out to do something good and look like something just jumps up and starts fighting against you and stopping you right in your tracks. It's good and evil, y'all. It's the age-old good and evil. That's what good and evil comes from the same root, you know. It comes from the root of the same tree. Now, we didn't have that to deal with until Adam ate.
Right.
We didn't. He was innocent. He said, don't eat of that tree. You're going to die. He ate of it, and all of a sudden, good and evil became important. When I would do good, evil is present with me. He says, I delight after the law of God. I'm happy. I love the law of God after the inward man. But he said, I find another law in my members that's warring, fighting against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Our members are animated by the law of sin. He said it exists in my members. Saved from what? This thing here. The one I call that old rascal. There's a law of sin that exists and lives in my members. And listen, I find that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. I find a law which is in my members. Then he says, oh, what wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I need help. Then he goes on and says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He's talking about two servants. With my mind I serve the law of God, and with the flesh I serve the law of sin. Now that's still not the answer, but he's saying that's what happens. I find myself serving God with my mind, I take control, then the law of sin comes in and overpowers my mind, and I find myself serving the law of sin. So this is how we're saved from of the flesh. Paul spoke of two laws in Romans 7. Two laws. He spoke of the law of God, which he said, I serve with my inward man, that is my mind. In verse 23, he said, that's one law. Then he said, he spoke of the law of sin, he said, which is in my members. He spoke of two laws. Now, laws are like this. When a law is activated, it operates the same every time. Every time a law, okay, the law of aerodynamics. When you start your plane or whatever to moving forward, actually the law hadn't taken place, but you're starting it, and you got to get enough speed. And when you get up to a certain amount of speed, depending on the weight of the craft, all of a sudden enough of the air will pass fast enough underneath it that it will begin to get into a place where a lift can occur. And they'll drop the flaps or do what they do with the flaps that cause the air to go a certain kind of a way. And then that certain kind of a way causes it to tilt and it goes up. All of a sudden, they have superseded the law of gravity and they have stepped into an area called the law of what they call aerodynamics. And it has the appearance of flying. And every time that law is activated, it should operate the same every time. But if the law of aerodynamics is not in operation, the law of gravity continually works. So you need a law that is stronger than the law that you want to overcome. And so the law of aerodynamics is stronger than the law of gravity when it's properly applied. They go into outer space, superseding the law of gravity and the Earth's atmosphere, the gravitational field of the Earth. And once they break through that gravitational field, they go into outer space and they get into an orbit and they fall into another gravitational type field that causes them to orbit. So they're utilizing the different laws that they know of, you know, from physics, that how they work. Well, Paul is talking about a law here. And to bring it back down to where we are at our level, you have the law of sin in my members, y'all. We got this law. This law has to be dealt with. Then we have the law of God in our mind. That is, if a man has a conscience and he does something wrong, it bothers him. He knows that wasn't right. I shouldn't have done that. I need to try to straighten that out, but I don't know how. The law of sin says, forget it. You did what you needed to do. That's the selfish man. You know, they talk about the angel on the left shoulder and the angel on the right shoulder, and the black angel and the white angel and all that stuff. It's really just a depiction of these two different laws that work in man. But the latter law of sin, what it does, it imprisons the law of the mind, or the law of God, which works in the mind. And it makes man's best effort at being good ineffectual. It makes it inefficient. The Bible says that the law is weak through the flesh. That's the scripture that says that. That the law is weak through the flesh. That's why I don't believe in putting people under certain laws and constrictions and everything, because it's just another law for a person to have to fight their way to try to keep. You can't keep a law. We cannot keep the law. I don't care whatever form the law is, you aren't going to keep it. You'll do it for a week. I met a lady in Winn-Dixie, and she said, well, I'm doing better. I'm not like I was. I said, young lady, I said, that's very good. I said, that's a good start. I said, but you need Jesus, because this is a battle for the mind. And I said, no matter how good you do, you're going to hit a hole here, and you're going to fall. The difference is going to be with Christ. You have the mind of Christ to deal with. Otherwise, you got your own mind that eventually you get discouraged and you say, what's the use? I'm going back anyway. We need Christ. That's the difference in us. Because the law is weak through the flesh. You do not keep laws. Folks say, you better not do this. You better not do that. You better not do that. You better not eat that. You better not smoke that. You better not drink that. Well, listen. You know what you develop with that? A sin consciousness. Do you know what a sin consciousness is like? I had a motorcycle rider here. When a car's coming, you don't want to look in the light, do you? You want to look where? Over. Away from it. But what are you going to do? Start staring right towards the light? Is that right, Bill? But if you look in the light, you kind of got a propensity that kind of pulls you over that way. Yeah, see? And so what you want to look away from it? You want to look over here and just, you know that you need to keep it straight on the road. And a sin consciousness, where I must not smoke, I must not drink, I must not sleep with that woman, I must not do this. Where you're trying to hold back. All that thing is just driving you right into it. You find yourself driving right in front of the woman's house. What am I doing here? Man, the law is weak through the flesh. That sin consciousness will take you directly in the path of it. So anyway, here's something really good, though, having said all of that. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Lord, get us out of this. Paul revealed the third law. Thank God he revealed a third law. Romans 8:1. After he told us about the way we're made, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes us free. But what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's not that the law is unrighteous, the law is righteous. It's just that we can't keep it on our own. But it can be fulfilled in us through Christ. And that's by faith and faith alone. Saved from what? Saved from the entrapment of our own flesh and the law which governs it. And y'all, I'm telling you, you play with it. It's a powerful law. It's very powerful. And this rascal I talk about is the trickiest thing I ever dealt with in my life. He'll let me get religious if I stop talking so much about
about Jesus. He will. He'll find me a place where I can sit there and say, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. And be just as happy and looking over here at this little situation. How can I get involved in that? And I need to help with the offering so I can give me a little piece of that. And you're tricky. You say, well, everybody else doing it, I might as well do it too. No, you don't. You don't might as well do nothing. The third law, and the main law that should govern us and that does govern us, is the law, not the law of the mind, not the law of sin or the law of the flesh that works in our members, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In Christ we're made alive again. Hallelujah. In Christ we're now living in life. He said, anyone that believes me though he was dead, yet shall he live. Yet shall he live. And he showed us. He's preeminent over nature. He walked on the water. He stopped the storm. He's preeminent over blindness. He opened blind eyes. He changed water to wine. He's preeminent over death. He called Lazarus and a young man out of death, and he himself raised from the dead. He showed us his preeminence in these areas. And he says, if any man be in me and believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Save from what? Save from this sinister, tricky, fleshly existence who demands his place, though he lost it a long time ago. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you, and we hope that we've covered sufficient ground. I believe we have. May we walk away from here with this knowledge. Let us not fall, Lord, prey to these matters, but instead to walk worthily according to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that you provided for us. And we thank you for it. And help us to be worthy to be used by you in this world with what little life you have left for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.